start today the Torahway in Northwest London in conjunction with Hendon Das Yisrael Congregation. Sunday, 12th of Teves, 24th of December. Ren Arav Reb Shlomo Yitzchok Fixman Shlita, the history of shul refurbishments. This week's Torah is sponsored by family Stimler on the 5th yard site of their dear father, Mr. Wally Stimler, a friend of Rocha, Reb Yisrael Zeib Ben Reb Tzvi Osher Stimler's, whose Yatza is on the 17th of Teves, and also this course, Hashavuim V'Afayilim V'Mulchamon Sheyachzul V'Otahem B'Mheiro L'Shalom.
Takes it off.
I do.
Today's shiur is kindly sponsored by Mr. Ronnie Rosenthal, Lina Nishmas, his parents, Reb Yitzchok ben Yaakov Koppel, and Meras Machle Bas Osher Zelig Halevi. Today, Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to discuss the history of shul refurbishments. That's in line with what we're doing here in Hendon Hadas, Baruch Hashem. We're refurbishing the shul, so we figured we're going to talk a bit about the history of shul refurbishments in general. Just wanted to make a comment. Someone didn't read the poster properly, called me up. What kind of history does Hendon Hadas have with shul refurbishments? So I said, this is exactly the point. There's no history about it. We're making history. But we're not talking about the history of Hendon Hadas. We're talking about, generally speaking, there's some fascinating inyonim benoigeya, the inyon of shul refurbishments. And we'll start off with a question, a shaila, that was asked many, many years ago, about 40 years ago, in the city of Toledo in Spain, which what used to be called, or in the poskim, it's called Tulitula. That's the name it was called in olden times. And that was the city where the Rosh resided. There's a whole history about it. The Rosh, as we know, was a Talmud of the Maram Rottenberg. He was Ashkenaz, but he had to run away. And he made his way to Spain. And there he became the chief Rav. He was the Rav over the entire Spain. And the Rosh writes very extensively about his travels and about his things that he had. And it's very evident and very obvious that the Rosh had a very hard time acclimating with the new culture. And he writes, Keshabasi Latulitula, Tzavachti Kikruchya, different things, different halachas, that he was ma'ira to the people and they wouldn't listen to him. So we have this name Tulitula comes up many, many times in the Tshuva Sarosh, in the tour. And it's a very famous city that had Yidden for many, many years. Now, unfortunately, in 1391, when the Tsarist started, 1492 is the date where Yidden were chased out, but the Tsarist already started in 1391, and many, many Yidden were forced to baptize. And later on, in 1492, there were no Yidden, at least in the open, in Spain. Spain became Judenrein, at least from what people saw, they weren't allowed to practice their religion. So the Goyim took over the shuls. They had beautiful, magnificent shuls in Spain, and the Goyim took it over, made it into Bote Avodah Zarah, properly with all the symbols and so on and so forth. Now, about 40 years ago or so, the government was happy to give back one of the buildings in Toledo. They were happy to give it back to the Jewish community. There was someone by the name of Mr. Sasson that he wanted to refurbish it and rebuild it and basically reclaim it. Supposedly, I didn't see it, but they say that it still had some of the oisias, some of the simonim, symbols that it used to be a shul. So here we have a situation of a building that was used for based philosom. The Goyim used it for their Avodah Zarah. They worshipped and they had symbols and so on and everything that they do in their churches. And now the question is, can we reclaim it and make it into a Mokem Kodosh? Or do we say that once it was desecrated, you cannot bring it back to its former Kedusha. That was a question that was asked to one of the Rabbonim, and he had to deal with this inyan. Now, in order to understand a bit the background, we have to take a look a bit in the halacha. What does the halacha say in such a thing? So let's start off with halacha at the end in Hilchas Beis HaKnesses, in the end of Sima Kuf Nun Gimel, the Mechaber says, "Ein liknois me'ilim shenishtamash behem hedyet letashmish kedusha." You shouldn't buy any mantles or any pieces of cloth, clothing that you want to turn into cover for a bima or a peroiches. You shouldn't buy any of these type of things from something that was used for a tashmish hedyet, which means nothing to do with avodah zarah yet. Even if a simple person used it, it was used for mundane purposes, it should now be converted and used to dover kodosh for tashmish kedusha. There's a very interesting story that they say that in Belz they had the peroiches for the Yomim Noroim was a white peroiches, and it was made from a dress from the Eshte Belzer Revitzin. She was a very big tzaddikus. Her name was Malka, and she used to say she was the wife of the first Belzer Rebbe, Reb Shisar Shunam of Belz, and she used to say Umalki Tzedek Melech Sholem, that because she's a tzaddikus, Malki is a tzaddikus, that's why Sholem is a melech. That's how she used to say. But she was considered a very big tzaddikus, and they had a peroiches made out of a dress that belonged to her. So the question is, how does that work with this halacha that you shouldn't use a me'il, something that nishtamash bem hedyet? So it's interesting that the Shaar HaTshuva brings different sources that lahatir lasos mibeged isha. From a beged isha, you would be allowed to do it. Now, we're not going to go into the details of how it works out with the sugya, but I'm just pointing it out that, you know, the Mechaber brings the halacha, and it's interesting how they make a stipulation that this would be allowed. Now, the poskim say, the Mishaburi brings from the Chaya Odom, that we see that even from something that was used as a hedyet, you're not supposed to use for Dovah Shebi Kedusha, V'kolshke midvorem shen ishtamash behen lavoides gilulim. Avad anat, you cannot take something that was in a church and used for their worshipping, the avodah zarah, and b'zeh afilu b'di'evet osur, says the Chaya Odom, even b'di'evet it's osur, v'tzorech lemochron v'lachze v'liknes acheres. In other words, you can't use it even b'di'evet. So we see that when it comes to Dvarim Shebekedusha, you have to be very careful what you use. The Ramah brings a halacha that we know the Torah asers esnan zoino and a mechir kelev. The Torah says, Loisovi, Beis Hashem, it's a Toyeva. So the same thing would work. Even today, says the Ramah, you cannot use for Esnan Zoino, Mechir Kelev, a Dover Shal Mitzvah, Kagon Beis HaKnesses, and so on. So we see here that when it comes to Dover Shebi Kedusha, you have to be very careful with what you use it from. Now, there's another halacha in Sima Kuf Nun Dalet, where the Mechaber speaks about candles. Now, today, Baruch Hashem, we have electricity. Yes, we sometimes have some candles, but candles is not very much part and parcel of a shul. But in olden times, we can imagine where they didn't have electricity, so every single day, they used candles. You know, otherwise, you wouldn't be able to daven in chamar, maybe shachas, you had windows. So candles was a very important part of what they needed for a shul. So says the Mechaber, Neiris shel shava, wax candles, shenosnam kuti lavoides elilim, a goy gave it to avodah zarah, the kibon shamoshan, and the shamas of the church extinguished it. V'nosnam emochan leYisrael, also la'adlikam beis haKnesses. You cannot use it in a beis haKnesses. Now, what's the chiddush of the kibon shamoshan that the shamas extinguished it? Because we know in Hilchas avodah zarah there's a din of bittul, which means that if something is designated for avodah zarah, so it's also it's a toyeva. So you cannot bring it, you cannot use it even for your own use. However, if the goy is mevatel avodah zarah, which means he does something that otherwise you wouldn't do, like for example, who in their right mind, if someone is a goy, would go and extinguish candles that were lit for their avodah zarah? It goes against the inyan of kavod. But because the shamas, for whatever reason, did it, so he was mevatel that candle. So therefore, for a tzorech hedyet, for a simple person, you can use it because it loses its status as Avodah Zorah. However, the Chiddush here is that if it's for a Beis HaKnesses, because it's a Tashmish al Kedusha, you cannot use even something that wouldn't have a problem of Avodah Zorah per se, but because it was done and it was designated for a Beis Avodah Zorah, then it has a problem. Now, the big shaila that the Poskim speak about, what's with the Shava? What would be the business? How was did the candle business work? It was a recycling inyan. That, you know, people had candles and then, you know, it drips and all that's left over, you would gather and then remake it again into candles. So the question is, can you use the wax that dripped, can you use it and make candles from it for a shul? So the Chayodim says no. He adin shava hanoitef minere seyem is osir, because here you don't have this inyan of bittul, because that's not bittul, that's still davoy dezora. So therefore, that would be a problem. Now comes the Mishnah Berurah, and he says, what would be the halacha of using a based philosom, a church, converting a church into a shul? Is that allowed or not? So the Mishnah Berurah says, Kosav Amogen Avrom Lahokl, that because you're converting it, so now you're oiker, in other words, it's no longer has any shaykhs to the Avodah Zarah. So according to the Magen Avraham, one would be allowed. However, other poskim say that it's osir to make a Beis HaKnesses kavua from something that was a shul, and this was a church, and this is a very, very big controversy that has happened over the years. Anyone that goes to Williamsburg, on the main street, on Lee Avenue, there's a very big building that is very evident. It looks like a church, but they converted it into a shul, and Bismanoi, when that happened, it was a whole big machloikis, whether you are allowed to, you're not allowed to, and so on and so forth. But again, this is a very big inyan that we find, that if you want to take a tifla and make it into a shul, that's a very big problem, and many, many poskim are against it, that you shouldn't do it. Now, our question here is, something that was a shul, in other words, using something from Avodah Zarah for Kedusha, for sure not. Converting a base Avodah Zarah into a shul is a big machloikis. But here we're talking about something that definitely belonged to the Eden. It was a shul. The Goyim took it, whether with Rishos, without Rishos, that's irrelevant. But the Goyim, for many, many years, made it into a church with all the symbols. Now we want to go and redeem it and take it back. There the question is that allowed? Is that not allowed? What's going on here? What is the Be'etzem, the inyan of the Shaila? So, in order to understand this Shaila, we need to see a Gemara in Masechtas Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Masechtas Avodah Zarah has a whole discussion about Kelim Sheshimshu Bahen Be'Beis Chonyoy. What's Beis Chonyoy? Beis Chonyoy, the Gemara tells us a story that Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol, and when he passed away, he had two sons, the older one, the younger one, and the older one refused to take over, and he gave it over to the younger son, and then after the younger son became the Kohen Gadol, the older son changed his mind, and he says, no, I want to be, but we have a problem, because we already appointed the younger son, so he made himself a different, what we would call, he made himself his own minion, his own shul, his own thing. And in Mitzrayim, he started a place called Beis Chonyoy. There's a machloikis in the Gemara, whether Beis Chonyoy was Avodah Zarah, or whether it was not. It was L'shem Shamayim, but it was wrong, because they brought Karbonos there, and the Torah says that you're not supposed to bring Pentisa Elosecha, you have to bring it in Yerushalayim. So we're not saying that it was okay, but the question is, how not okay was it? Was it Avodah Zarah, or was it just an inyan of, you know, doing their own thing? So the Gemara has a shaila, kelim sheshimshu behen bebeis chonyoy, mai sheishtamshu behen bebeis hamikdash. So we have kelim that they used in beis chonyoy. So he had the same thing. Everything was the same kelim and the same setup, the same avoida, but it was his own thing. So the question is, are you allowed to use it in the beis hamikdash? In other words, if we hold that Beis Chon is a Beis Avodah Zarah, kum nishim batracht, what's the Shaila Bechlal? What's the Havamin to use Kalim that was used in a Beis Avodah Zarah? What's the Havamin to use it in the Beis HaMikdash? We're talking, according to the Mount Omer, says the Gemara, that Beis Chon, you love Beis Avodah Zarah, And it's interesting to point out, the Rambam says, how long did Beis Chonya last? The Rambam says 200 years. That's a very long time. It changed, you know, obviously it changed the people running it. But that's what the Rambam says, that the Beis Chonya went on for 200 years. So the question is, says the Gemara, even if we hold that it's not Beis Avodah Zarah, maybe you shouldn't be allowed to use it in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara brings a Mishnah that says, Kohanim sheshimshu beBeis Chonyoy lo yishamshu beMikdash beYerushalayim. There was a knas that anyone that served in Beis Chonyoy, because it wasn't legit, therefore, even if they wanted to do tshuva, they wanted to come back and come to Yerushalayim, they were not allowed to be makriv in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara Shaila is, do we say, Kohanim hu dekansinu rabbonon mishim debenei deyaninu? Someone that's a Kohen has a mind and he understands, so he understands he did something wrong. Avul Kelim loy, because Kelim, what are you counseling the Kelim? They didn't do anything wrong per se. That's the Gemara Shaila. So the Gemara goes and the Gemara brings a fascinating Indian. And the Gemara says that we learn out from a Pasuk that anything that was used in an illicit way, in a non-proper way, cannot be used in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara brings a Pasuk about Ochos. Ochos was the father of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. And he was an Oved Avodah Zarah. And the Pasuk says that all the Kelim that Ochos has, Kol HaKelim Asher Hizniach HaMelech Ochos B'Malchusoy B'Maloy Hichanu V'Hikdashnu. And the Gemara says, what does it mean? We replaced it. In other words, all the Kelim that was used in the Beis HaMikdash, but for Avodah Zarah, because Ochos was Oved Avodah Zarah in the Beis HaMikdash, as unfortunately many of the Malchei Yehuda. So those Kelim, says the Pasuk, and the way the Gemara interprets the Pasuk, that we change those Kelim, we replace those Kelim, and we wouldn't use those Kelim for the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Gemara goes on and brings a raya from what happened with the Mizbeach. This is something that we learned about not so long ago with Chanukah, that when the Chashmonaim came and rededicated, they were Mechanech again, the Beis HaMikdash, after many years of being defiled, and after many years of having their Avodah Zarah and pigs and other things that they did there, what they did was they dismantled the Mizbeach. There was a special place in the Beis HaMikdash, a room where they kept all the stones because they didn't know what to do with it, as the Gemara says. So the stones stayed there, but they weren't used. They were considered like their Tomei. And the Yevonim, the Chashmonaim, when they came, they rebuilt a new Mizbeach. They made a new Mizbeach. And the Gemara says, this is based on this Inyan, because Bo'u Bo'peritzim B'chileluho, that the Goyim came and they were Mechalel, and they were Oved Avodah Zarah, they were Meshakets, the Mizbeach. So the Mizbeach became Tomei, and they didn't use it, and they made a new Mizbeach. Now, just to put things into perspective, in halachic perspective, there is a halacha in Hilchas Nesias Kapayim, which deals with Kohanim who duchen. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Mumar l'avoydes alilim, lo yisa es kapov. Someone that's a mumar t'avoydes zorah should not duchen. V'yesh oimrim shim osa tshuva noise kapov. According, in other words, the Rambam holds that even if he did tshuva, bein b'shoigig, bein b'meizid, and even if loy osa maise, which means he didn't actually do a maise t'avoydes zorah, all he did was he was mishtachva, he was moide. In other words, he did sort of what we can call lip service. Afal piken, says the Mechaber, the Rambam, that he cannot be noise as kapov, even if he does tshuva. In other words, fine, you did tshuva, but you cannot come back to your original chazaka. You lost your chazaka forever because you did avodah zarah, and that's bein b'shoigig, bein b'mezid. The Rambam says v'chein iker. In other words, we make it easy for a bal tshuva to come back. So we have here this inyan that someone that was an oved avodah zarah, just like we just saw, you can be do tshuva and b'makom shebala tshuva oimdim ein tzadikim gemurim yecholim la'amod, but you cannot come back. The Mishnah Berurah brings from the Poskim, even someone that was Heimer Ladas Yishmoel. In other words, maybe that would be less because there's no Avodah Zarah involved per se. He says, no, it's still considered a mummer because Yishmoel is not Yiddishkeit, is not the Ribbono Shel Olam the way we know it. It's not the way of Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, even someone, according to the Rambam, even someone that's Meimer Ladas Yishmoel can never do Duchening again. There's a fascinating Shaila in the Poskim, Benegeya, someone that promised to convert. In other words, he didn't actually convert yet. They bring, the Radvaz brings, that the minig was that if someone, you know, showed interest that he wants to convert, so they would take him and keep him for 40 days. They would sort of, you know, put him in segregation, in quarantine. And then, after 40 days, they would spritz the water on him. So what if someone said that he's going to do it, and within the 40 days he changed his mind, so he's allowed to change his mind. Do we say that such a person is also condemned from doing duchening? So that's a very big shaila. But there's a shaila in the Chacham Tzvi, Benoigeya, someone that converted to Das Yishmoel, and then he did tshuva. May he be a Chosen Torah. Can you call up Chosen Torah, someone that did such a thing? So the Chacham Tzvi says, no problem. Because being Oyle L'Chosen Torah is even less than Duchening. Duchening, you're doing V'sheires, it's an Indian that we find, it's an Avoider. So we can hear that once someone converted, even though he does tshuva, he still cannot be a Koyan, he cannot do an Avoider. But being Oyle L'Chosen Torah, if he pays the right price, obviously, you can definitely call him up, says the Chacham Tzvi, there's no problem. But again, he brings all these things. So now that we understand what the background is, that basically we have here, as we said, we're talking about something that was Kaddosh, it was a shul, but then it was desecrated, it was Nischal, and now they want to bring it back. What is the status? Is it the same as something that was started off being bad, or is it better because of this? So in the Poskim, we find a very interesting stira, and this is something, here's where the history starts. So the Leket Yosher, it was a Talmud of the Turmas Adeshin, he was from the Gedoyla Ashkenaz, and he brings a shaila about a shul, asher lokhu bizroya hamoyshelo akum, va'osoy beis kinesiya l'avodah zarah, that there was a time where the government decided to take away by force, take away a shul that belonged to the Kehila, and they made it into a Kinesiya L'Avodah Zarah. Ba'ach HaShemes, after this Moshul died, the son of him, his son, decided to give it back to the Kehila. So here we have a Shaila about a shul that was used for Avodah Zarah, whether you can bring it back. So the Leket Yosher brings a whole discussion b'noigeya the Beis Hamikdash. Let's take a look at the Beis Hamikdash. Anyone that learns Melochim and goes through a bit what happened in the times of the kings, you see that for many, many years there was Avodah Zarah rampant, but not in a side room, or in the Heichal, in the Etzem Beis Hamikdash, Hemet Selem BeHeichal, as we know. And this we learn about Menashe HaMelech, and many others. So in the Heichal they had Avodah Zarah. And then came the next thing. Let's say, for example, Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Chizkiyahu HaMelech, the Pasuk says, he was Mamash HaBik Tzadik, he cleaned up all the mess and all the Avodah Zarah that was rampant in the times of his father, he cleaned it up. Now, the question is, very nice, you cleaned it up, you chucked everything out, everything is nice, you may even repaint it, you may even have made a nice job. But what happens with the fact that they did Avodah Zarah? How do you bring back the former Kedusha? So says the Leket Yosher, that just like we see that Menashe HaMelech Hemet Selem BeHeichal, and then later, that's also another thing we learn about Yoshiyahu HaMelech, that's after on Pesach, that he was this big tzaddik that he cleaned up and he did everything, the right things, and he tried to right all the wrongs that his father did, and we don't find that he had to build a new Beis HaMikdash. He used the same Beis HaMikdash, and that was used as to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what do we see? We see that that's not a problem. But then he says, Adayin libi noikfi, he says, my heart is still not so calm because we just learned about the Chashmonoim that they dismantled the Mizbeach. Why didn't they do the same thing with the Mizbeach? If we say that you come back, you do tshuva, you clean up, you get rid of all the Avodah Zarah, and then you start fresh. Why do we see that they had to get rid of the Mizbeach? So then he wants to say that there's a difference between the Avnei Mizbeach and the Heichel. What does it mean they put a tzel on the Heichel? It means that that's where it was, but it's not pshat that they tampered with the Etzem Heichel. The Heichel stayed the way it was, and they put a tzelem. So now the tzelem is gone, so everything is the way it was. But the Avnei Mizbeach, they used it, they actually used the Avonim. The Mizbeach serves a purpose. That's where you do the Avodah. So maybe that's why, when it came to the Mizbeach, they had to get rid of it. But in the end, the Leket Yosher is not happy to say clearly, he says, "Lo melani libi lechalek b'iroa gadoy lekazois midati." I don't want to take the achrayas of paskening such a shaila, and he refers them to other gedolim, and he says, "Whatever they tell you, you do." In other words, the Leket Yosher has a stark tzat to say that it's a problem. Even the Beis Hamikdash itself is a problem. How he learns pshat with all these kashas, it's not clear. Now, there is another story. I'm trying to explain the steer that we find in the Poskim. There's a tshuva in the Mizrahi. There's a Shalat Tshuva Haram, Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi, where he brings a shaila, the Bar Hetev brings it. Beis HaKnesses Achas, Shero Eidim Kesherim Es Shamash HaKnesses Mis Oilel Im Nar Echad V'Heichal Hashem. Someone did bad things in the shul, in the actual shul. Unfortunately, this is something that has happened over history many times. And basically, in the shul, thinking that no one is there and it's quiet, he used it for illicit uses. And people started saying, this shul is no longer kadosh because this avera was done in it. And therefore, osel is palal ba'osa beis haknesses. This was a shaila that was brought to the Mizrahi. So the Mizrahi says azoy, b'yoysi shebo ba'ozni, I heard that tzasmi b'nei ameinu etziu koil ala knesses azel loymar, shema'acha shenevta boy avera gedoy lekezois, ein roi lispalol boy, ila haske boy kadesh ikedusha. In other words, you can't use it anymore for dvorim shebikedusha. Bosi lefarsem eloy dia shibusham. They're making a mistake. It's wrong. That's not the case at all. Ein adova kein. And where he goes in, he brings a raya from what we say in Alanisim. What do we say in Alanisim? That Raftas Rivom Damtas Dinom, the Kamtas Tikmasam, and then it says, Va'achakach, Bovonecho, Ledvir Beisecho, Ifinu Esheichalecho, Vitiaras Migdashecho, Vidlikoneiros. So we see that, yes, the Beis Hamikdash was in a terrible state, and they were machalalit in a very bad way, but when they came and they cleaned up shop, they brought it back and into its former Kedusha. So he says, I don't understand where these people are coming from. And he basically says, no problem. You can go back and use the shul. It still has its kedusha. On the other hand, there's a very interesting shaila in the Tashbetz. So the Tashbetz was the chief rov of Spain, much later than the Rosh. After the Rosh, he still had the Rivosh. Was also one of the Rishonim. He was a Talmud of the Ran. And he was one of our Gedoyla Aposkim. And after the Rivosh was the Tashbetz. And this was all before 1492. It was between the period of 1391 and 1492, you had the Rivosh was in the time of 1391, and the Tashbetz, who was a Talmud of the Rivosh, he was the main Rav later. So many, many shailas that the Tashbetz brings about that period. And the Tashbetz was a very prolific writer. In other words, there's a lot of history in his writings, and there's many details that he brings that are not dafke connected to halacha, but it gives you an insight of the period, a very strong insight. So he brings about Beis HaKnesses in Mallorca. Mallorca is an island that many people go visit. There's a lot of sun there, and the English people like to go there, or at least they used to like to go there. And it's a famous island. And in Mallorca, there were many, many Yidden that lived there. And unfortunately, they suffered a lot. In 1391, they suffered a lot. There were many arigas and so on and so forth. And many people that lived in Mallorca, many Yidden, had to convert because otherwise they were threatened to be killed. Now, there was a shul in Mallorca that for many years it was Nezva v'Amdu Chareva, and he writes the history that the Goyim came in, Becheref Shalufa. In other words, they were forced out, and basically the Goyim took the shul and converted it for their uses. Now, many years later, there was an opportunity for a private person to buy that shul. So he went ahead and he bought it. And now the Kehillah are coming and saying, Entschuldig, this belongs to us, it belongs to the Kehillah, so it's very nice that you bought it, but it's not yours. So the question is, who is right here? Is it his? Because he definitely did not have an intention that the Kehillah should use it. He didn't buy it for the Kehillah. He bought it for his own use. Now the question is, what is the status? Says the Tashbetz, Im yesh mi. So first he says that be'etzem, that shul is paka kedusha. The kedusha is gone because boy goyim b'chalalua, as the Gemara says with the chashmenoim, bimkein k'shekona akoyin azes habayis la'atzmoy harei chulen b'yodoy. It's his own private property. He can do with it whatever he wants. Shekedushosa yishoyin hufka mipnei charbonoy al deo akem. Because the goyim were mechalal it, it lost its kedusha. Imishim knuyosa al dei Yisrael. Just because a Yid bought it, that doesn't make it into Kedusha. He would have to be magdish to the Tzibur in order for it to become again. Even if, let's say, he allowed them to use it, he lent it to them, he said, you can have it, even if he didn't charge any rent, but it still belongs to him. He can make them move out. And then he says, Im yesh mi shaliboy noik fe loimar. If someone wants to argue and say that even if the goyim came in and were mechalalit, it still has its kedusha, because there's a pasuk in Parshas Bechukosai, Bashimoisi es migdasheichem, and Rashi brings it, kedushosom afal pishehin shoymimim, that even if it's shoymimim, even if it's not used, it still has kedusha. But he says, that has nothing to do with shuls. This is Beis Hamikdash. Vashimoy says Mikdashechem goes under Beis Hamikdash Arishoin, that Kedusha Rishoino, Kitchel Shatav, Kitchel Ositlovoi. But Stam Azoi says, Hakoina es Habai, Zochaboy, it's his and he can do with it what he wants. So now we have Lechoira, a shtickle problem here, because we have here different poiskim saying different things, and it's Mamash Estira. Does it retain the kedusha just like we say va'achach bo banecho ledvir baisecho? Do we say that no, it lost its kedusha because bo peritzim v'chileluha? What's going on here? So ulai we can explain it as follows: avade navade. What do we find in the Gemara Masechet Avodah Zarah when the Gemara tells us the story with Reb Chanina ben Tradian? So the Gemara tells us the story that unfortunately Reb Chanina ben Tradian, he was caught teaching Torah, and they condemned him to die. They wrapped him around with the urias of a Sefer Torah, and they put it on fire. And the Gemara says, they asked him, what do you see? He says, he sees oisiois poirchois ba'aver. He sees letters flying around. What does it mean? I mean, we shouldn't try it. But if you take a Sefer Torah and you put a fire to it, the letters stay right there. They just burn. It's not pshat that the oisis porches ba'aver. What does it mean that he saw oisis porches ba'aver? So the Mefarshim explain that what Reb Chanina ben Tradian said was that the Sefer Torah, b'shas, it's burning. In other words, people were so devastated that they're taking such a heilige Sefer Torah and they're burning it. So he says, b'shas, it's burning, it loses its status as a Sefer Torah. The oisiois, in other words, what makes a Sefer Torah a Sefer Torah? What makes it Kaddish? It's parchment. You can write on the parchment whatever you like. But because you chose to write the letters of the Torah with the Shem Hashem and so on, so that's what makes it Kedusha. Now that the Goyim come and they're trying to defile this Kedusha, they can never defile the actual Kedusha. Yes, unfortunately, this Sefer Torah is being burnt and it's being lost. We won't be able to reuse it. But don't worry that the Kedusha, that they have a Shlita on the Kedusha. They never have a Shlita on the Kedusha. As soon as they come and they try to be Shoilet on it, it's Oisius Parchas Ba'aver. The letters are flying around and the Kedusha is still there. We find the same thing by the Beis Hamikdash. There's a Medrash that says that as soon as the Goyim came, they also saw with the Indian of the Beis Hamikdash that it became Eitzim Vavonim, that they didn't, they weren't Shoilet on the Etzim Kedusha of the Beis Hamikdash. As soon as they came, the Kedusha went away, and whatever they did on Eitzim Vavonim. So the same type of Yisoid we can say with the Indian of a Shul. You have a Shul, so a Shul has Kedusha. Nothing to talk about. And there are halachas. Kedushas Beis HaKnesses are halachas. But as soon as the Goyim come in, so now it's no longer Kodosh because they defiled it. But now the question is, if you want to bring it back to its former glory, what does it take? Does it need the same thing that it would need to take a Chulin thing and turn it into Kedusha? Or because it was Kodosh at some point, now it's much easier to bring it back because all you need to do is, as if you say, we start where we left off. We don't have to start again and do a new Maisa of Mag being Magdishit. All we need to do is decide that we no longer want it to be the way it was in a state of being defiled. Now we're going to bring it right back to where we left off. And that is what we find in the Poskim. That in the case of Majorca, where the person didn't want to bring it back, fine, that's his choice. He doesn't have to bring it back. In other words, the decision whether he's going to become Kodesh again, that's up to the person. That till now, everyone knows it's defiled. The Goyim used it for a base of Avodah Zarah. Now that a private person bought it, he has a right to buy it. It's Chulin. It's not Kodesh. So if he decides that he wants to leave it that way, that's his prerogative, and no one can stop him. The case that we find in the other poskim, in other words, we saw the Leket Yosher is not clear, but clearly the Tashbetz and others are the Mizrahi that says that even if illicit things were done, that means that if you still want to continue and keep it that way, it stays that way in a very easy way. So basically, back to the Shaila with Toledo, where the Memshola wanted to give back the shul to the Kehillah, no problem. Even though it was used for many years with all the symbols and everything, but because it had the Kedusha, it comes right back, and that is what they paskened, that it's not a problem. The same Shaila happened in Singapore. In Singapore, there was a period where they were under the Japanese occupation. And I don't understand exactly why, but that's what we find in the contemporary poskim, that in the period that the Japanese were there, they put in Avodah Zarah, Tzlomim, and other things in the shul. And then when they got rid of them, they gave it back to the Kehillah. And again, the Shaila came up. Can we use our dear shul that we had, you know, for so many years, and now it was defiled, can we continue using it as a shul? And the psak was yes, because as we said, the Kedusha was never tampered with, and it was just removed. But as soon as someone decides that we want to bring it back, it just comes right back, and as if nothing happened. And that is the maila of something being that had Kedusha in the past, that to bring back its former Kedusha is much easier than something that was not, that was chulin, that you have to make Kodosh, and therefore something that was used for Avodah Zarah, which was never used for Kedusha, you cannot use for Kedusha, because that's a different story. But something that was used for Kedusha, and now you want to bring it back, even if in the interim it was used for terrible things, that doesn't affect it, and that's not a problem. Now, just to finish off, there's a fascinating Shaila in Reb Moshe Feinstein about the Kosel HaMaravi. Now, we can imagine the uproar that this would have brought, but it seems that this was a case. Someone came up with an idea that maybe the Kosel HaMaravi lost its Kedusha, because boy goyim peritzim v'chileluho. In other words, you know, throughout the times of the Churban and so on, all these years, you know, there wasn't a Jewish presence there. So oy bazoy, it lost its kedusha. And what did this person want? This person wanted to buy the Koisla Maravi and sell the stones as a souvenir or something. You know, he thought of an idea, you know, a Yiddish cup, you know, another idea of how to make money. And he asked this Shaila to Reb Moshe Feinstein. Now, it's kedai to see the Lashon of Reb Moshe, how he writes. And he's so angry at this person. He says, how dare you even suggest such a thing? He says, the Medrash tells us that the Reb Moshe Feinstein made a shavua that he will never leave the Koisla Maravi. What does that mean? That means that regardless of who comes and regardless of what they're going to do and all the levels of it being defiled, it doesn't matter. I will always remain at the Koisla Maravi. Ma'olam lo izaza shchina ma'koisla Maravi. So how you even dare suggest such a thing? And then he says, so in other words, what are you suggesting? We should just dismantle the whole Koisla Maravi? And then he says, that's very interesting, that even for thinking about this, you have a big avera. He says, besides the averas of that you're not supposed to be noited, even me ala mizbeach, and all these different lavim that he brings, he says, levad ha'iser hu ovel godol ma'oid al ha'machshova. Even on the thought, he says, he can't get over how a person can have such a thought. Now, just to finish off, to wrap things up, so we hear a bit, you know, about the history of refurbishing shuls, that, you know, sometimes there were big shilas and big issues when it came to refurbishing shuls. But Baruch Hashem, here in London, we had this chos, the shul has been used since it started and it was never defiled. So we're not doing such a type of a refurbishment. However, there is a very important point that I wanted to make. And that is, there is a Bayer Hetev in the beginning of Hilchas Beis HaKnesses who brings, what is the reason why shuls turn into Beis Avodah Zarah? And this is something that has happened many times over the years, both in, you know, in Spain, as we saw, but even in North America, you go in different places. I remember growing up in Montreal, so you had beautiful buildings. You saw Matoiv Alecha Yaakov, and it's okay, it's not a church, but it's a goyish school. And then you have plenty of shuls that became churches. And in New York, in Manhattan, you can see, and I'm sure here in London as well. Why does it happen? Says the Bar Hate of Rabbi Isai, it may not be gishmak to hear, because people are not mechabed the Beis HaKnesses vizdaf tzizan, and mainly because of sichas cholim, because people talk in shul. That is why shuls turn into churches. The Rabbi Shalom says, you don't know how to treat my bias, you don't know how to treat my home vizdaf tzizan. You know what? It'll go to the goyim. By the goyim, they don't have what we have. Okay, there's a reason. You know, there's the famous story with Rabbi Yonatan Eibschitz that he had a vikuach with a galach. The galach asked him, I don't understand why by you, you know, you come to shul, satitzach, you're walking with a coffee, with a this or that. You come to the church, everything is prim and proper, people sit in their place, they don't move out of place, and there's no noise, everything is... So, Rabbi Yonatan told him, in your dining room, is there a decorum? He said, no, I live there. He says, we live in shul. Our shul is our home away from home. So we behave the way we behave at home. You come once a week on Sunday for an hour. For 1 hour, kemezach anhalt. But the metzias is that, you know, you go to Lahavdil, a goyish place, you don't see certain things that you see by us. And again, there's a reason for it. But that's what the Bar Hetev says, that if you don't know how to treat a shul properly, it's going to go to them, and they'll show you how to treat a base tefillah. It's very scary, but you can look it up in Simakuf Nun Aleph, in the Bar Hetev, in the beginning, Sivkot Nun Aleph. So what do we learn from this? We learn from this that at least now that we're refurbishing our shul, Be'ezes Hashem, we should try to be mekabel upon ourselves, to treat it properly and give it the proper kavod, and then Be'ezes Hashem, what's going to happen is, as Chazal say, Asid in Botei Kneisiyos, Botei Midrashos, from Chutz Laaretz to go into Yerushalayim, and especially with such a nice shul, they'll accept us and they'll give us a nice piece of land where we can settle our shul. But the Rebbein Shem should help us that we should understand what it is to have a Mikdash Ma'at, what it is to have a Beis HaKnesses, a Beis HaMedrash, how lucky we are that we have a place where we can come and connect to the Rebbein Shel Olam. We should treat it with dignity, we should give it the proper kavod, and in that zechus will be zoicha to all the brachas of the Torah.